Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the sure hope that is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your sacrifice upon the cross. And we pray that You would give us now minds and hearts that focus upon that sacrifice by which we are cleansed and we are saved. Holy Spirit, dwell within us and draw us nigh unto our Savior, that we would see the glories of His riches and grace. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. We'll begin reading at verse 22 and continue reading through the end of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 7, at verse 22, hear now the word of our God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, You shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts, may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal of which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, He who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offerings made by fire to the Lord on the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai, on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the privilege of partaking of Holy Communion. And we come to this passage in Leviticus, which is the last passage where the instruction is given to the priests of how the sacrifices in the temple or tabernacle at this point in time, later the temple, are supposed to be offered. And after this section, we are going to be going through the other ceremonial laws that instructed the children of Israel to live before the face of God, but also point them to Christ. But we see in this passage that it's sort of like a conclusion, if you will. You have all the other rules and regulations surrounding all the different kinds of sacrifices that were supposed to be made. And now here at the end, we have the conclusion. These are the really important things that the children of Israel were supposed to remember. And we see in this passage, as we've seen in the past, that there is a distinction made in the parts of the animals that were to be sacrificed, between the parts that were supposed to be completely burned up and given entirely to the Lord, those which the priests were allowed to eat, and those which the worshiper were allowed to eat. And that which was given to the priests were indirectly given to the Lord as they were the Lord's servants. You can see that, if you will, in verse 34. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken, so the Lord's taking it from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by statute forever. And so we see in that even the part that was given to the priest was also supposed to be, was first of all given to the Lord, and the Lord gave it to the priest. So we see there a principle that's also laid out for us in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 14, "Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen God is concerned about, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, for it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." Ministers like that passage. But the principle there is that we see that all the gifts that we give to the Lord, even if they pay the pastor's salary per se, is it is a gift unto the Lord. And this is what I want us to see, because as you see in this passage in Leviticus, you see that there is specific parts of the sacrifice that are given to the Lord, and then specific parts that are given to the priest. But all of it is talking about the people giving respect, honor, and also animals to be sacrificed. They're giving all, they're supposed to give happily to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to see in this passage. And we should not be surprised by this. But at the tail end of the commands given surrounding the sacrifices, we see that the Lord understands clearly the human heart. We shouldn't be surprised by that, but he does. We do not close with an emphasis on what was supposed to be given to the worshiper, but rather what was to be given to the Lord. For the Lord knows that while the truth is it is better to give than to receive, he knows that our hearts like to believe the lie that it's better to receive than to give. And the Lord here gives clear instruction on what is supposed to be given, how it's supposed to be given, and also how the sacrifices are supposed to be treated. The Lord gives clear instruction, we see principally in this section, about what to do with the blood of the sacrifices and the fat of the sacrifices. The Jewish people in the Old Testament were never to eat meat with blood in it. Many have called out the fact that this would have been for health reasons, because there have been a lot of diseases and so forth. There's no doubt that that is true, but that's not the main reason why the Lord forbid the eating of blood. The main reason was that the blood of the animals represented the blood, the life of the animal. And what was to be done with the blood of the animal? Almost always, it was to be gathered in a bowl, and as my professor in seminary would say, whooshed onto the altar. Now, we are very far removed from having sacrifices in a temple, but you have to think with me what that would have looked like. You have an altar that is made out of acacia wood, but the whole thing is covered in bronze. And then there's fire on it. And then you take blood and you whoosh it onto this really hot bronze. What's going to happen? It's going to sizzle. It's going to smell. And the reason that was done is because that was all symbolic of what Christ would endure on the cross. That he, in his life upon that cross, as he's suffering and dying, is enduring the searing pain of being burned up by the wrath of God against our sin. It was a symbol that pointed forward to Christ giving up his entire life, enduring the scorching and burning pains of hell, in order that we would all be redeemed from all of our sin. And thus the blood of the animals was to be reserved for this purpose, to point the people of Israel to the coming Messiah and what he would do for them. Not to be eaten, but to be burned up. Now we drink a cup, and Jesus talks about that being the blood of the covenant. Thankfully, we don't believe it turns into actual blood. But the reason, again, there it is symbolic. And it is pointing us back to Christ's blood. What it does for us. And because the searing pain that Christ endured upon that cross, and the burning up of his life, if you will, is finished, now the symbol is one of refreshment, of joy, of peace, of blessing. And so we see that the symbol has changed, but the way we partake of it, enjoy it, and what it is different. Now the commands that surround the fat, this maybe seems weird to us because, at least for me, when I have a steak, I cut all the fat off because I don't like to eat that part. But apparently, Middle Eastern people at that time really liked to eat that part. And the Lord says, however, off limits, especially if it is given, it's an animal that is given in sacrifice to the Lord. And in both of these cases, with the blood and the fat, notice how severe the Lord takes that. If someone eats the blood or the fat, they are to be cut off from the people of Israel. They are to be outside the camp. They are to be excommunicated. Why? Because in the blood, that is representative of the blood of Christ. It is not to be mishandled. And in the same way, the fat is representative of the best of the sacrifice is given to the Lord. The best part. And we should not take what is not ours. And so in both of those respects, we see how seriously the Lord takes His worship and how seriously He wants us all to correctly understand the gospel. This is why when we have in our day and age so much we all should be together, right? False senses of unity. Well, you're an Arminian, you're a Calvinist, who cares? Not a big deal. The Lord makes it a big deal. So if the Lord makes it a big deal, it is a big deal. How we understand the gospel of grace. Our forefathers understood that. They understood it so much that they were willing to be burned at the stake for it. And so we have to remember to be uncompromising on gospel issues. But as we look at how the instruction is given here, something that we must notice is that we are to give to the Lord our all and our best. We are to give Him our all and our best. We see that principle laid out throughout all of Scripture. One of those passages is that I think we know well is Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are to give ourselves entirely to the Lord. We're supposed to give Him the best of what we have. We're supposed to honor and reverence those things which He has commanded are sacred. Why? Why isn't it reasonable to do that? Why isn't it reasonable to think of the Lord's table as holy, as special, as sacred? Why do we do that with the preaching of the Word, with the worship service in general? Why do we do that? Why is that important? Why is it reasonable? Well, what has Paul just got done explaining previous to Romans 12? The gospel. Why is God so strict about the blood and the fat of the sacrifices? Because it points to the realities of the gospel. And so as we think about why is our service to the Lord, our worship to Him, reasonable, well, think about what is given to you because of the cross of Christ. Christ gave us everything. So of course it's reasonable for us to give Him everything. As we once again think about the blood of the sacrifices burning upon the altar and what they pointed to, we're reminded when we take of the bread and the wine, what that points back to. The death of Christ. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Christ's Supper, let us do so wholeheartedly. Not reserving for ourselves any glory or honor. You might say, well, how would I do that in partaking of the Lord's Supper? How would I keep something back from the Lord that which I should give to Him? Well, is there any part of you that trusts in you for blessing or maybe for salvation? Is there any part of you that raises yourself up in pride and says, well, the Lord chose me because... Or the Lord really loves to bless me because after all, look at me. And so we as God's people now are to humble ourselves before the face of God and recognize that the blood and the body of Christ are holy and sacred. Because it is only by Christ's sacrifice that we are saved. And thus we must trust Him entirely, solely, for our life, for our salvation. We must place our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper and as we taste that bread and that wine, let us partake, resting and trusting solely in the death of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. When we are doing that by necessity means that we will not partake of the supper nonchalantly. We will treat it as sacred and as holy because we recognize rightly what it represents and what is happening, that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is serving us at His table. And feeding and nourishing our souls unto everlasting life through His broken body and shed blood. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would wash away all of our sin and all of our pride in the precious blood of our Savior. And help us now to come in true faith, resting and trusting in the sacrifice of Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.